You're about to listen to the Reverend Tolu Alugo Agboola, who is the set man of His Worship Christian Network Global, and has been given the Word of Truth mandate amongst other mandates in order to teach the church and raise true worshipers. Now, Reverend Tolu Alugo Agboola.
Thank you, Father. Overflow me. Ibrapas kabamonte kwata la baria vakasu tatai. Mete kubia sabave dose kubalasko pelevato. Bembra kota skatambe bavikata. Aika kebo satulia kaparia telometamo. Enkomba te vede dole askapata. I hear your voice. Here am I. Send me. Overflow me. Overflow me. Overflow me. Let that which is within be increased until it begins to run. Anamoka kolia taba. Enba mi bofasata babilia kabo temande. Overflow me again. Overflow me. Overflow me again. Oh Jesus, overflow me, overflow me again. Sabakakaya la lakamo kabaratolesa. Sendetino kakan sabailo kavate. Mantuas katolia kakata. Aya papata kwanton de komo parantove. Etoba sitam balanta kato. Rakata be komo santaba kabibote amano. Eka momi bakabo selatolia kaba. Retos de tika babambre ketolikayas. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, as a first installment for this service, we ask that you will fill us until we get to the brim and we begin to overflow. Oh, let there be a stirring of that which you have placed within us. Kuma shalama katode. Korea kopevaru sesufikato dalo. Aiko somo ferano koteku santa leva kiba. That there is none amongst us who is running below what you have prescribed for this season. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. You may be seated. God has been gracious unto us, and on the strength of his expressions as gracious have we come again tonight. There's so much to listen to. It has been a busy week, and maybe I need to put out this instruction very early. It's for those of us who are live on site, those that are online, and those that will listen to these messages. Because of the weight of ministry that God has committed to some of us, we have been stirred by God to labor very much in bringing these sermons to us. So, if you are privileged to be able to sustain direct contact, it will be tantamount to a misuse of access if we preach sermons that you don't listen to and ask us questions that are already in sermons. A certain young man disturbed me, and what I received instructions to do is to block him on every platform that he has access to me. Because we cannot preach on Sunday. I was trying to chronicle my labors this week. I had two sermons on Sunday, one here on Tuesday. So that's three. I, by the mercies of God, preached in four conferences this past week until this morning. And I have two sermons from each of the conferences. So that's 8 times 3. How many men is that? So we cannot do 11 sermons in 1 week. And then you do not labor to go to where the sermons are hosted. When we prescribe sermons, you still tell us the particular one. It means you are not following. You are not following. So I want us to please do our own part of the work. There are things I don't do to my spiritual father. I don't ask Papa, in what sermon did you preach about the ministry of power? No, I don't ask such questions. If he was here, he would tell you that I rarely ask him even doctrinal questions. In listening to him, I have gleaned how he searches out truth. And so I do my job. I was preaching in Ibadan this morning. Pastor John Aldo from Yola was in the meeting. Somebody I've been trusting God to meet is a strong voice in Yola. When he was called to pray for me before we took off, he said, when I first heard you, he was in the hotel yesterday. He preached yesterday afternoon, that your Lanyon preached in the morning. He said, immediately I heard your sound in the hotel, I told our host, get me into that building. This is Arome Osai. I'd never met before. The things he said this morning prophesying were the exact things that Daddy Apami said. Exact things. Exact things. By the mercies of God, our gradual becoming, and I say that with all of respect for the growth of my spiritual father, our gradual becoming is not because we talk so much to him. It's because we listen to every sermon that he preaches. Even his breakfast sermon in Kenya this week, I stayed listening to it. So that's how we follow. That's how we follow. When he finishes a gospel tour, my phone becomes choked. The memory capacity of my phone is not too heavy because I download all of the YouTube videos from that tour and I sit with them, I listen to them. I not only listen, I study his approach. Balumi is not back from Ibadan. Okay, you are back. You remember that journey we took to Erinle together? What we did from Erinle to Ilorin was that we took a sermon and we listened a little and I was running analysis for him. Can you see how he greeted his guests? This is why. Can you see how we entered this? This is why. That's how we learn. We don't abuse proximity. Well, I will have a 10 o'clock session on Tuesday. And what I want to do, because we have started, I've started releasing some of my Tuesday sessions. I want to run a teaching session on the art of communicating truth. So that's what I'm going to do. 10 o'clock on Tuesday. I'm going to be away, but I'm going to quickly drive back into town to do that session. Because it has become very urgent. So if you are free, if you are not free, don't worry. It's not a service. It's just a session. But I have pieced together things that I have found in my father that I have begun to do that makes bringing the truth of God easy. And I think it is time to give them to a generation so that we can also grow. If the media can put us on, can live stream that session, I'll be excited. But if they are busy, don't worry. So it's not a service. So there's no burden on you. So Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. I know it's a matriculation for 100 level. So I'm only excusing 100 level students. The leaders are walking around relating with the 100 level students, and I expect that they have something to announce this evening. So if you don't have anything to announce, all of you should go and converge outside and make sure that there's something tangible that will be done to onboard the 100 level students by Tuesday. Amen. And somebody's wondering why I'm saying that. There's a place you come into in ministry that some things are no longer your concern. If they are still your concern, it means that you have not done a good job. E.g., if I'm still thinking about buying fuel to the generator, it means that we don't have leaders. Are you with me? Okay. So I could have said these things after the service, but I know that there are heads of other ministries that are connecting to us. A time must come when, if you keep serving tables, you will not be able to fully commit yourself to the ministry of word, of the word and prayers. So, me, I've gotten to that level that I want to face what Jesus sent. If you are in the city of Ilorin, tomorrow evening, you can join us at the CNS Church at Muritala. Yes, I'm going to be preaching for 2 days in a conference themed Thy Kingdom Come. And if you are in the city of Lake Ogbomosho, Wednesday and Thursday, you can join us for our September contact session tagged in the day of thy power. And by the grace of God, if you are in the city of Lagos on Friday and Saturday, you can join us in the city of Ikorodu. We're going to be ministering at the Ikorodu Revival Invasion. And we trust God for mercy. So that's the itinerary for this week. Pray along. And if you're around those corridors, please do well to fellowship with us. Tonight we want to begin to look at another theme, which is just a branch out of what we have been considering and we are still considering, which is the indwelling Christ. I have heard over time, have I prayed? Okay, I've not prayed. Okay, so I should pray. All right. So, Father, we thank you for tonight and we ask that your word will come to us with life. It was recorded concerning your utterances that what you speak, they are spirit, they are life. And tonight we ask that we will be quickened and we will be enabled by your life and by your spirit. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Yes. So, for many years, the consciousness of what we have received as the presence of God has encouraged the labor for preservation. Some time ago, maybe last year or 2 years ago, I preached on the subject fragile, and my emphasis was that the presence of God is fragile. It means you can fracture the weight of God in a meeting. One of the proofs that a man is increasing in the knowledge of God is that you begin to gravitate from the common into the uncommon. And what I mean, or what I do not mean, is that you gravitate from the clear into the spooky. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that just like from the Jewish perspective, there are only two kinds of bread. Kenny, it's good to see. I've seen you, but I've not seen you. So you're welcome in Jesus' name. I'm saying that there are basically two kinds of bread in Israel, and I'm not speaking around the source. It's not cornbread or banana bread or whichever bread. There's what you call common bread and what you call shoe bread. In the same way, when God begins to steward his utterances, which are supposed to be the substance upon which we live our lives, for scripture says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, there is also common bread and uncommon bread. There is a fellowship of cables that is occasionally in this pack, so somebody should track them and do something about them. You remember the story that there was a time when the king designate for Israel was hungry, not just as a man but as a company, and the Bible says that he approached unto the priest in the tent. What do you have under your hand that myself and my men may feed from? And the priest had to tell him there's no common bread. But David had to reinstruct the priest that I and my men, we have kept ourselves, and in keeping themselves, what he actually said was that we have kept women from us. We are strong men. They tried to come, but we built a wall around ourselves so that they will not be able to reach us, and so they could feed on the hallowed bread, or if you want to call it the shoe bread, without consequence. If you feed on the shoe bread in an unholy manner, you die. And so there is also spiritual nourishment that has to do with the communication of the counsels of God, that until you meet the requirement of existence in a layer of consecration, you will not be able to come further. I was sharing yesterday night, partly along these lines in Ibadan, and I said to them that word is not scarce. It is the word of God that is scarce. Because if a minister of Christ feeds on common bread, he will preach a common sermon. Are you with me? If a minister of Christ feasts on hallowed bread, what he will bring forth will be hallowed. So there is the weight of consecration that rests upon the minister of Christ Not just because he wants to gain approval, but because he wants to make full proof of his ministry. Are you with me? Good. Is that in case you want to unlock the word of God further, you can pray long, but you will still pass through the test of consecration. And if you do not pass, your prayers will not be converted to finding revelation. Your prayers, especially if you pray in tongues, will be converted to securing purification. Are you with me? Okay. It's like what I'm saying is this strange? Okay. But this is where I'm going. That many times when we speak about hosting the presence of God, the consciousness of the average believer has to do with putting together the right worship songs, looking for the most accurate part in prayer, so that we can use these activities to keep God in the building. It's many times about a building, because the presence is delicate. So much so that a pastor can begin to preach, and then if you have a meter in your spirit, you will know when the Spirit of God lifts in the service. Because if he tampers with the presence of God too much, what God does is that as an act of mercy, so that he does not begin to wipe out people, he withdraws his presence. Are you with me? So that God, his presence reverses into a place where God is no longer a participator. He stays as an observer. If two of you start to fight, it may not happen. Because I know Finny can. She looks like somebody who can fight very well. Am I lying? You see, she says, I'm not lying. Okay. If two of you start fighting, I can look at the fight. And it means that the outcome of the battle will be between two of you. But if I become a participator, I can tamper with the outcome. It means that there are things that God sees, but ultimately it doesn't affect the outcome. Because the weight of his presence that comes is an observing presence. Are you with me? So when people ask the Lord and say, where is your face? Sometimes his face is around, but he came to observe, not to meddle in the affairs of those people. And I want to announce to us that the enemy has begun to brag so much, asking where is our God. So much so that the believer is wondering if God is actually in the know of what is happening. But what is really happening is that, you see, God is not far away. He can be present, but his presence can be a gift of observation and not a gift of performance. So when we want to begin to labor to preserve or to give long stay, and that's what hosting means, to the presence of God, we will need to go beyond the things that we do. We will need to labor into certain corridors in God where we can find out what makes heaven heaven. Because the presence of God in heaven does not observe, it is active. And so the labor of the one who wants to host the presence of God will be to create an atmosphere or create an environment that is similar to the environment of heaven. And then you'll be able to keep God permanently in the earth, knowing that one of his desires for expression in the earth is that he be kept in the earth. That's why we want to study this. I believe that help will come to the ark. Yes. We still made payment, I think, during the week. Sort of. Yes. No. The other week. We didn't make this last week, but we'll make this week. Did you not make this last week? I think we did. Yes. Early in the week. We made early in the week. So we still make this week too, by the mercy of God. So we have to begin to teach transition sermons, so that we know what postures to enter into, so that we don't switch buildings and then we are beginning to struggle. If you don't know, you see, it will be difficult to put a club inside this building. I'm saying to you. So when we leave, And soon, by the mercies of God, if it is a club that comes here, terrible things will happen to the people. Not because we programmed it so, but because even these walls have soaked presence. The wisest thing for a struggling church will be to move into this building. It will prop them in it. I know. Sometimes we become used to certain things that we don't know that they are uncommon. I can boldly say it, that God has entered into these walls. He has entered into this ground because of sustained labors that we have come into by His mercy. So these are my transition sermons, because I'm already thinking the ark. I was still there with my biological parents this afternoon. I'm already thinking the ark. Oriyomi was with us briefly when we were there. Okay. Let me begin to run my teaching. As a first installment, I will be speaking briefly, and all of them are brief, on the subject Foundations for Hosting the Christ. Foundations for Hosting the Christ. One of the definitions of our entry into the kingdom of God, and when we speak of the kingdom of God, it's not just the geography of that kingdom, but the movements of the things of God that give definition to that kingdom. That's why we adopt the word economy. Economy just means distributions. That there are certain essences, there are certain graces, there are certain endowments in God that are released when you come into the kingdom. Not one-off releases, but attract sustained flow, so that by their flow you will be able to differentiate being in the kingdom of God and being in a natural kingdom. It is by these things also that the man who has crossed from death into life begins to express as a new creature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that verse of scripture gives us a peep into what made him a new creature. It is by the fellowship of new things, because old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. A new empowerment system, a new enabling system, a new security system, a new supply system, a new survival system, a new inspirational system. So there are a lot of systems in the government of God, in the kingdom of God, and it is by fellowship with these systems that your newness is established. A new legal system. We are not a kingdom without rules. A new set of principles. A new set of entities, like we saw them in Hebrews chapter 12. All of these things are what establishes you as new. And so when a man claims to be new but has been cut off from the fellowship of these things, what you will find out is that his only ground to claim new will be words. There will be nothing in that person's life to show that he's new. He will struggle like an unbeliever but claim that he's saved. Not just struggle with life, he will struggle with sin. He will struggle with darkness. The things that he was designed to bear rule over, he will be subjugated under them, because he has not come into the fellowship of things. What I just explained is the experience of about 80% of people who go to church. And so we need to labor beyond getting people to the altar. And that's why discipleship is necessary. That beyond getting people to the altar to confess, we must walk the life into them by sustained education. That's what church is about. When you begin to view your entrance into the kingdom, I've said this to us before, so this is just a refresher entry for me. There are two basic experiences that every believer must have. One of the reasons why you qualify to receive his life is that you also possess a life. Amen. The name of the life that you possess is death. The name of the life that he possesses is called life. So you possessed an operating system called death. He possessed an operating system called life. And God decided to create an interface of interaction. And then within that interface, he deploys the technology of exchange. That the only reason why you can collect the operating system called life is that you have an operating system called death to give. Are you with me? So the testimony of a believer is not the testimony of change. It's the testimony of exchange. I had a life to give. He had a life to give. So I gave him my own by acknowledging his lordship. And then he gave me his own. So the complete testimony is that I gave my life to Christ and I accepted the Christ. Are you with me? And if you don't want the word accept, because the opposite of give is what? Receive. So I gave my life to Christ and I also received the Christ. Or if you want, I received the life of Christ. That's the robust expression of the testimony of those who have what we call genuine salvation. In 2022, we need to add an adjective to salvation because there is the concept of counterfeit salvation. And if you stay in church long enough, you will find out that virtually everything we do has a counterfeit. There's what they call counterfeit worship. In counterfeit worship, the songs suggest that God is being worshipped, but the God that is actually being worshipped is the man that is worshipping. Are you with me? Because in worship, the consciousness in worship is supposed to be away from the worshiper. It's supposed to be towards the one who is worshipped. But you know now that when you are worshipping, you still feel yourself. You say, ah! There's what we call counterfeit worship. There's also what we call counterfeit prayer. Now, when you hear his tongues, you think he's praying. But Emmanuel, the reason why the sister's tongues went high is because she wants to show that I found something. It's about self. It's not Godward. So it's counterfeit. There's also the concept of counterfeit holiness. That all of us think you are consecrated to God, but you are not. The end of your consecration is not God. The end of your consecration is social justification. You want people to come to a point of acknowledging that, that's the person. So there are many counterfeits. Pastor Diola, there are also counterfeit callings. There are certain people believe that Jesus has called them, but they didn't hear it come. I remember sometimes in the seminary, a young man who had been frequenting the seminary suddenly shows up and he obtained a pastor's form. The gate man that time, I remember that was Baba Sanusi. Baba said, Baba said, Yoruba, Ikwe kologba, phone call, Logba. Baba, well, you see, God can call anybody. But based on Baba's judgment, you mean that God has stopped seeing people that he can call? He now called this guy. Well, my challenge was that the guy was not different from before his call. So he didn't give anybody a reason to believe God. But there are people in ministry. I've heard a minister after 25 years who went to a meeting where callings were being discussed. And he said, what is this thing about callings? If God does not call me, I call myself. To him, it's an assignment. There are people who have signed up to ministry because of survival. It's a counterfeit call. And if you're unfortunate to be under that kind of pastor, he will milk you dry. Because to him, ministry is a means. It's a means of survival. So in the midst of many counterfeits, it is important that we find again the tokens of genuine salvation. When a man is genuinely saved, we know how he will end. Are you with me? We know how his life will progress There are things we can endure because we know that those things will not last. That there is, as a byproduct of his decision or his new state, there in his life, according to Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, God will be working in him, both to alter his desires and give him new ones, and also give him the capacity to fulfill what pleases God. So his life will be better. His path will be as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter to the perfect day. His life would gravitate towards God and will begin to correlate in stronger dimensions to the life of the Christ. That will be his outcome. Amen. So, if you find out that since you met Jesus, you were a better human being before you met him, and that now you have become more wicked than when you started, you need to check how you came in. Maybe it was not in Christ that you came into. And if you are not in Christ, the structures that produce the reality of that exchange are not available. If you stay in the sun is not given the ability to cool people. Are you with me? You will need to move close to a fan or an air conditioner. If you stay in the sun and you are hoping that one day the sun will change its assignment, you'll be wrong. I'm saying if you are outside the Christ and you hope that your life will get better, that you can look more like Jesus, you can be more gentle, you can be more loving, you can be more caring, you will be wrong, because it was not given to man to engage those changes. Your love has a lifespan. Your humility has a lifespan. Your gentility has a lifespan. Your meekness has a lifespan. And when it is stretched beyond its elastic limit, it will crack and the real you. When you hear people say things like, "See, I'm just looking at you, me self, I crack in the head," you know that kind of thing. When you hear things like that, it means they have gotten to their limits. And you're wondering, this person, yes, yes. That's the kind of righteousness that flesh produces. We received the Christ. I want us to say with boldness, for those of us who are saved, I have received the Christ. And if you have received the Christ, you can also say boldly, the Christ is in me. Okay. So that's a good place to start. Now, redemption gives the believer, gifts the believer the possibilities of operating with the Christ on three layers. One is that you received the Christ. Two is that you are gifted the possibility of playing host to the Christ. That's retaining the Christ. Are you with me? Or containing the Christ. The third possibility is that as one who has been saved, you have it is possible now to dispense or manifest the Christ. So you receive the Christ, you host or contain the Christ, and if you want, you can retain the Christ. That if we check 10 years after you received him, he's still there. On a third layer, we all have been opened up to the possibility of manifesting the Christ. Let's look at a few verses of scripture to establish these realities. Colossians 2 verse 6. Paul was admonishing the Colossian church. He said to them, "As ye have therefore done what? Received Christ Jesus the Lord," he encourages them, "so walk in him." It's an instruction that many believers have thrown away, because the things that attended to your life when Jesus came into your life, even per activity, are no longer there. "As ye have therefore received." So Paul in his teaching established that there is such an event as the reception of the Christ. If you go to Ephesians chapter 3, and that's a longer reading so that it makes a complete sense. Ephesians 3, 14 to 17. Ephesians 3, 14 to 17. Help me. Is Philip around? Paul, praying now for the church in Ephesus, said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's go on. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love," let's read 18, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height," leave it there so that we don't begin to talk of the love now. But what I'm saying is that the design is that the Christ that you received is designed to dwell in you by faith, not by feeling. Somebody say by faith, not by feeling. Why is it by faith? Because there's a promise of a dwelling. And that promise brings you into a plane of hope. Because there can be no faith if there is no hope. When you have fine-tuned all of the requirements to occasion the reality of what you hope for, there is a deposit of faith in your heart. There is a substance that comes. That substance begins to manifest in diverse dimensions to show that the promise has been received. Are you with me? But it's not like something you can touch. It's not like something that you can feel. Sometimes the Christ in you begins to manifest with intensities that can be felt. But even when I don't feel him, because of the utterance of God that gives me the protocol of his dwelling, when that protocol has been fulfilled, I know that Christ is there. You know, when I rounded up yesterday, I was trusting God for a clothing. The theme of the conference for yesterday evening and this morning was the beauty of the Christ. And I labored around the four expressions of the Christ: Christ the man, Christ the body, Christ the ecosystem, or Christ the civilization, and finally it was Christ the office. Now I had spied on the teachings of the other big men of God that came, and I found out that they had picked some of those streams. So I decided to stay with Christ the office. And in bringing forth the beauty of Christ the office, I spoke about the beautification of the throne of the Christ. It was a facility that God gifted that office. Two was the beautification of the scepter of that throne, which is actually the person of the Holy Spirit. The third is the beautification by the people. That you are one of the beauties of the office of the Christ. All of those things are captured in Psalm 110 from verse 1 to 3. Are you with me? Then in closing, those are the external beauties of the Christ. The internal beauties of the Christ has to do with the fact that the office of the Christ is not a one-off office. It's like a faculty. There are three departmental offices within the office, which is the office of the prophet, the office of the priest, and the office of the king. So I closed the service to say that it was the office of the king that was activated at Pentecost. Are you with me? Every time you see an anointed man, it is proof to you that Jesus is king. So we decided to leverage on that office to be clothed, because they were clothed in Acts chapter 2. And so we prayed. And you know, immediately I finished praying, my doubts had gone away. I knew that because we prayed, he heard us. Sometimes I get feedbacks by perception. So God told me that he had heard us. But you know, some people only they must be dirtied on the ground. We must crack one chair leg. And I felt sorry when some of the chairs, their legs broke. I felt sorry. So you have created liability. So I pleaded with the Lord that he will, in that congregation, at least give us 14 individuals upon whom we will increase the intensity of the garment that they wore. And then the place was up. For me, I had believed by faith. When I pray, I don't need to see movement. But people need movement to clear their doubts. And God is also in the business of clearing doubts. Amen. So don't be an actor that they don't need to see anything. So you have the gift of healing now. Believe it all. You have the gift of healing now. And then we just walk away. No. So sometimes we need to help people into the consciousness of what they have received. And okay, God, now clothe him. And so that if he falls to the ground, we will say, So it's not really about me, it's about people. Are you with me? But okay, so that's how I went. That was my sermon for yesterday. It's a lot more robust. Many things were said. And you'll be blessed. I just used that opportunity to market that sermon. You enjoy it. The sermon this morning, I think was also very important. I spoke on the encounters that make for acceptable service. That if you have never met the king, it's not likely that you are serving well. Because it was his 6th year anniversary. It's not likely. It's not likely. So may you meet him. Because when you meet him, a prophet of prophets confessed, "Woe is me." So there are some confessions that you will not come into until you meet him. Many of us have met other people that God sent. We have lost touch with the sender. So there's a possibility of appraising your labors by other people that God sent. And if all of you have departed from truth, it means that you'll be comfortable in falsehood. That was Isaiah's problem. Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, because I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. All of us are the same. But when his eyes saw him, hey! So this is how filthy I am. I was also telling them that you can do ministry correctly and not acceptably. Because Isaiah 1-5 were not lies. They were true prophecies, but from unclean lips. You are the only one who thinks that iniquity cannot do ministry. Let's continue. We cried at the end of that service. It was a crying early morning service. Crying early morning service. Because that service started at 6 a.m. It's a crying early morning service. God will send us help. Okay, so let's round up this. So Ephesians 3:17 makes us understand that the design of the relationship of the Christ with the man is that he dwells in your heart by faith. So your heart has space to host the Christ. And we need to also announce that if he's not there, another spirit will dwell there. Thirdly, I want us to look at another verse of scripture, John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit." Forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This verse helps us to validate the manifestation or the expression of the Christ. Because the fruit bearing part of a tree is what? The branch. So the branch begins to bear fruit because the life of the tree has been possessed in the branch. The way people will see Christ manifest, that you possess him, is that you bring forth the fruits of the Christ. Not because you claim that you are in Christ. Bear fruits. That's the proof of possession. When you enter a room and you see somebody who hangs their legs on the wall and you wake that person for long, you know, some people just cannot sleep in one place. But the person, you wake the person up and the person does not wake up for a long time. What do you assume? That the person has traveled to a witchcraft coven. And to ensure that your friend returns so that the friend can become a candidate of deliverance, you must look away from the leg on the wall, because if you shift the posture, your friend may be trapped in the coven. Oh, you don't know. When people transport out of their bodies, they are supposed to stay in that same posture. Let me not open your eyes to see some of those things, because they are in your Bible. Solomon found certain things that we are still trying to unravel. And his advantage was that even though folly caught up with him, his wisdom was a gift from God. Are you with me? So he found out. Solomon established in scriptures that it's possible to travel away from your body by strange means. But that as long as the silver cord is still connected, they will enter your body back. But if they break the silver cord, and one of the protocols of breaking the silver cord is repositioning, then the spirit becomes a hovering spirit. So that you'll not say, this guy has gone to darkness before. We are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. So when we want to help brethren like that, we leave him, let him return. And then we now separate the craft from him. Because that, your friend, is a host. And when you use the word host, it means that the one who comes to dwell is distinctively different from the host. Are you with me? So when we say hosting the presence of the Christ, it's because we know that you and Christ are not the same. He's separated from you. It is by redemption that a coupling happens, and that coupling enterprise begins with a reception, and then with a retention, and is validated by a manifestation. So that's the foundation for hosting him. You must receive him. Our focus for this series is not really reception or manifestation. Our focus is hosting. However, it is important for us to know that in everyone that has subscribed to the lordship of the Christ, Christ was allocated a home. He came like a visitor, looking for a place to rest his head. And because you embraced grace through faith, you became a candidate for occupation. Not what you do, but somebody that can be occupied. A space was created within you to host him. Lord, help me. I'm trying not to say some things because it might sound somehow. So the presence of God is okay. So Christ was allocated a home in man so that in dwelling he becomes present. So when we speak of the presence of the Christ, it is the experience of a host. If you have not received the Christ, are you with me? You cannot begin to discuss the presence of the Christ. Because at social definitions, I mean street definitions, Emmanuel, your presence is actually the reality of your being present. Are you with me? That's what it is. Whether physically or by influence. All of us are seated comfortably, but if a military man enters with his camouflage, with maybe an RPG, that's the one they put on the shoulder, or maybe even with a pistol, or a military man does not even need to be weaponized to disturb civilians.
He just walks in and then he begins to walk from behind. Even if you don't run, you will sit well. What he's effecting on you is what we call presence. That without deliberate interaction, his proximity makes you adjust. That's presence. Mr. Tao used to go to Owambe small. Abina, at least more than me. There are people who come into the Owambe that everybody, even if you are eating, with fork in hand. Everybody's wondering. Maybe because of what they are wearing. Or the scent that they are carrying. And when they pass, everybody's nose is trying to find out who is this God that came. That's what we call presence. That man is not doing anything deliberately to you, but he comes with a weight of influence that makes you begin to seek his person. Amen. You know, when we go to preach, God used to help us, and definitely it's the help of God. There are many people on ground who quickly rush to you and say, sir, I've been following you. It's the same story. I've been following you for 4 years. And now I'm convinced that I should submit to you. His presence. They just feel, I want to be associated. You know, they even say it. So I want to be associated with this grace. If they met you in the market, there may not be much to say. And it's because you have not walked the presence of the Christ. So that when you are touched in the market, somebody still wants to submit to you, even though they don't know you are a pastor. Are you with me? So, that's what we call presence. It is the experience of being present. That is simple meaning. So when we say that the presence of God, we'll go to a deeper meaning later, but when we say that the presence of God is in a place, what we are saying is that there is the experience of a God who is present. If there is no tangible experience, you cannot measure presence mentally. It sets off something. If you blow air, based on what we learned in physics, what happens when you blow air out of your mouth? What happens in your atmosphere? There's a displacement of particles that we refer to as what do they call it? It's called Brownian motion. So there are particles in the air that your eyes cannot see. But when you blow the air, along the trajectory, that's the part of the movement of the air that comes out of your mouth, it displaces particles that are not as weighty. That's what God does. That if God is truly present, when he moves along his path of movement, everything that is not as weighty as God fades. So it was said of God's servant Catherine Kuhlman that even when she walks through a church, she walks through a church and is just going to her seat, everybody who is close to her is slain. When she walks through an airport and you want to trace where she went, you just find out that there's a lineup of slain people. So you can, okay. So it's like a puzzle. You just follow the lineup of the slain. You end up with Catherine Kuhlman. And because some churches didn't want all that trouble, they made her walk through their kitchens. And the stories say that even pots and pans, they vibrate because she's passing. That's why we sang that song. Overflow me. Overflow me again. That's what she was operating in. Overflow me. Overflow me again. Because there is a world that is dying because Christ is trapped. Men have received. Men have been able to retain, but they are not playing host. Are you confused? You can keep somebody in your house that you are not hosting. Are you with me? Yes, now. Emmanuel, have you not gone to visit people before that you were in the house? You wanted to ease yourself, but You didn't know how to say it. So you were pressed. You were in the house. You were gisting, but you were thinking, or after a while, you excused yourself like you were going to make a phone call, and you found the nearest bush around to ease yourself, and then you came back. And that's not hosting. Let me let the cat out of the bag, that the proof that you are hosting God is that God is free in your vessel. And Jesus told me that he, as the Christ, is a slave, is bound in many vessels. We can't say it's not there, but he's not free to do what he wants to do. It's not every house that you go to that you are hungry. They have food though, that you can say you are hungry. In some places, if you say you are hungry, you'll be ashamed that you said it. But you have friends that, as you are walking in before sitting, we are going straight to the pot. Kilo say, can you do it in every house? In school, I used to have friends that if they are rushing for a meeting and they don't have clothes to wear, maybe their clothes are not clean and they are my size, some of them are even bigger, he can rush into my wardrobe and pull out a shirt and wear, pull out a suit, pull out a shoe and run for the meeting. And there's no discussion. There's nothing like, see, don't. When they come back, they don't deliver washed clothes. They bring back dirty clothes. He only comes from his prayer meeting to wear his shirt and trainers, and he dumps my clothes. And I'm not discussing with him because there's a level of intimacy. What I have is his own. He's free in my house. If he comes, if he sleeps on my bed and he forgets to lay it, there's no crime. But if some people want to sit on some people's beds, they would rather stand against the wall. Because they are in, they have been received, but nobody's playing host to them. That's why we want to labor here. That confession can bring him in. But you need to be intentional about ensuring that the Christ is free to perfect or to fulfill his enterprise as designated inside you. There must be no aspect of your existence that stands as an impediment to the expressions of the Christ. If he wants to shout, then there must be room to shout. If he wants to pray through you, there must be room to pray. If he wants to heal the sick, there must be nothing that stops the flow of healing energy. If he wants to reveal things from scripture, there should be no jam in revelation. The word is free course. That's what he wants inside you. You were saved to be a host. And one of the burdens of the Lord for this series is that there is a cry by his spirit that I need hosts. I said to them in Ibadan yesterday that in Nigeria, when the news comes and says in so-so-so state, bandits attacked and they killed 14 individuals. If you take stock of the children that were born that day, in this country we give birth to over 1,000 children every day. But you know what? The news media doesn't go around looking for who was born. They are comfortable with advertising who is dead. The reason is because darkness is intentional about revealing what it's doing. So the consciousness of darkness has filled the land. The average believer now is more afraid of a babalawo than is afraid of God. Is it not so? If I threaten some people with God, that God will catch up with you, what he will say is, "Come to which God?" But if I say a witch will visit you this night, he will start begging. Now, is a witch the opposite of God? Satan, man, the captain of the, a witch does not deal with Satan. Yes, now. The place of a witch is very far away. Very far away. A witch will just have a class captain who reports to the principality in the territory. Even the principality in a town may not have met Satan before. That's the separation of powers. What's a local government chairman going to do in Aso Rock? or maybe even the chairman goes and then they have a meeting. It will be the minister in charge of local government affairs. A counselor has no business there. He's an oga in his own right. But he doesn't travel that far. But we fear witches more than we fear God. The reason is because those who carry God have not given reason to fear God. If a man claims that he carries God now, what the society hears is that that man is impotent. That's what they feel. Say, let's pray now. They say, which prayer? See, you better hustle. Because they believe that prayer delivers nothing. And it's not because it doesn't deliver anything. It's that even when prayers are going to be answered, the vessels that will occasion the intervention cannot play host to God's intervention, which is the gift of the Christ. It's because of us that God has a bad name. That's what I'm saying. So, we must be deliberate as we journey, and whatever we get to till our time is up, I want you to walk this week in gaining what was lost. Adam had something. And if Adam were given a privilege in the afterlife to come back to speak to us, one of the first things Adam will say about the modern day church is that you are not looking for what I lost. What he lost was a kingdom, because there were many things that were possible after the fall, but there was something that was no longer possible. And unfortunately, the church has sustained finding the things that were not lost after the fall. What was lost after the fall, we still don't have it in numbers. Those who have found it are the icons in the body now. Every other person is about survival, and Adam didn't have a survival problem. You are a host. Like pregnancy totally alters the shape of a woman, in the same way, the carriage of the Christ is designed to totally alter your shape. Amen. I've seen a few women go through 9 months, and at the point of birthing, the baby dies. Everybody is crying, but the woman is crying differently because she's thinking about many things. One is that she has become, even though she has not seen the child before, a bond has been struck. And it was because of the bond that was struck that she was willing to go through all of that pain. Now, to get to the point of seeing why I went through the pain, the baby now does not live. The average person who carries Jesus does not know any kind of discomfort. His life is normal. His life is normal. That's why our cities are this way. That this morning, people went to church in drones, but it does not affect the atmosphere of the city. We only contributed some extra noise. It is a posture that we have sustained so much that there's no expectation. There's no expectation. Oh, there's a crusade somewhere. The people drink around crusade centers because they don't think anything will come out of the crusade. Which is about 1 year. Okay, November. We're too far a day. So that when you are bringing in chairs, they already remember, November 12th. Okay, that crusade. Because they know if you come again, you will come back next year the same way. No essence. Because we have been raised to be active and not to play host. Stay with me. I'm still trying to build my foundations. I've not been able to strike where I'm going so that I can advance. So I'll stay here a little. Okay. So I said to us that the presence of a thing, and in this wise, the presence of the Christ is the experience or the reality of being present. Good. Let me go a little bit off and see if I'll find my rhythm. So stop playing for 3 minutes and then come back again. There are foundations that must be laid when a man begins to desire to permanently host a spirit. Just like when a man begins to desire to permanently host a friend. If the size of your bed, I don't know what size they call it, but that secondary school mattress, you know the mattress? 3.5. That's 2 feet by 4 feet. If that's the kind of mattress you have, and then your friend says to you, I'm coming to stay with you for 2 days, you may not have a problem. It just means you need to sleep on your side for how many days? 2 days. But if your friend says, I just got a job in town. It's a contract job. It's going to last for 2 years. Do you have a bed I can sleep on? What will you tell your friend sincerely? Say, I have a room you can sleep in, but please bring your mattress when you are coming. The reason is because that facility can temporarily host your guest, but cannot give permanency to that hosting. You don't want to experience discomfort for a long time. I am saying here that there are foundational stones that we must drop into the ground every time your desire is to permanently host an entity, much more the Christ. The easiest part of our journey is to say, today I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. That's the easiest part. The rest is not supposed to be hard, but to maximize this reality, we are supposed to be well taught. That if you want the Lord to be as active as he was designed to be active, you will need to plan to accommodate him for a long time. The average person yields to the Christ at the spur of the moment. People don't sit to say, wait to. I've shared with you that we were in a meeting and then we suspected witchcraft. And we gravitated towards this lady to check that, are you an operator in that dimension? She said yes. And so we brought the gospel to her. But as we were about to pray, to send out the spirit, she held the hand of my brother and said, wait. So we stopped. Please, if somebody wrongs me, will I still be able to attack the person? It was on campus. And we said, no, because there will be an exchange of spirits. He said, no. Leave me like this. She was willing to stay in the coven than cross into the kingdom because she could not understand how that you can't hurt people. So it means somebody will step on me. And when the person says, should I say sorry? I cannot visit the person in the night. Say, no. If you sleep now, you sleep. If you sleep, you don't travel. Say, leave me. And I know in your mind, some of you are saying, this guy, you are not powerful. You should have cast out the spirit. And we can cast out the spirit. Some of us just read Bible. We read the Bible. That if you cast out the craft and the lady becomes like that, you can create a greater problem for the territory. Because when that spirit goes out, the spirit will now go into dry places and then come to peep and find out that, this girl is still empty because she's not willing. And then they will come in multiples. They will deposit 6 spirits. Maybe the witchcraft only cries in the night before. Now it will kill. So one way to help the community is to allow one spirit to remain. And anyway, we are immune. And you can't come to cry as witchcraft bed beside my house. I will not bother. It's not me you came to cry for. Will it be you? Oh, no. If you say, Kowe. If I have your time, I'll also shout, Kowe. It's not me you came for. How can you come for me? Your host is under me. Are you with me? If you come as a witchcraft bird, he gave me dominion over the kings of your realm. Even the realm where you fly in, it's under me. Abi, I'll not be afraid of you. If you drive or you're to alone, you know why those trailers drive like that? They see a car coming and they see you driving straight. Even if you wear uniform inside your car, your host is small. Their own host is big. So, if you are wise, if there's no place to run to, you open the door of your car and you run and watch your car crossed. That's what you should do. Abandon the host. I remember a bird that flew over Dunamis when they were still in Area 1. Unknowing to the witches, that he had declared a no-fly zone over the church. So, the person had embodied a bird. When she flew, it was night of worship and wonders that time. The host left. You see, God is real, though. The host left, and then the woman landed on the ground with broken bones. They didn't kill her. They just managed the craft. They detached her from the coven. They now sent her to Bible school. That way, the enemy does not gain. Because if you kill that lady now, the craft cannot die. It will look for another person. Are you with me? Okay. So, I was trying to build a thought. And my thought is that there are foundational things that we must, stones that we must put into the ground if your desire is to permanently host God. And one of those foundational stones is the stone of the knowing of the spirits that you want to play host to. You can start playing. The one who wants to permanently host the Christ must labor to know the Christ. In knowing the Christ, you will know his name. It means you will come into the consciousness of his authority. You will come into the consciousness of his character. You will know his nature. You will know his possibilities. You will know his potency. Why do you need to know all of that to host? Because that knowing will be a gift of preparation for you. That, what state are you from? What's your name again? White. Ola. What's the phone name? Ola's coming. Good. What state are you from? Osun. What do you eat well in your state? Pandediam. Did you eat Pandediam in Osun? Mr. Tao. Okay, so you used to eat Pandediam very well too. It's good. So, if you say you are coming to stay in my house for 1 year, I should go and buy mortar and pestle. Abi? The reason why we did not buy it in our house because we don't have and we don't have plans is because it's not something that we are addicted to eating. Are you with me? So, my wife does not need to trouble herself. I am averse to even eating solids. It's weight. You don't need a pressing spirit if you eat apple in the night. You are already pressed. Yes. You don't need the spirit of sleep. I've shared it somewhere before that our fathers are wise men. That's why they can sustain the potency of spirit life. They don't eat like we eat. You eat eba around 9 p.m. but you have your prayer time is 11. You don't need sleep. You already have it. So there's wisdom. There's a time during the day if you want to be a night person that you must stop eating. And then you begin to eat things or take things that will aid your digestion. So that when you rise in the night, you are light. Are you with me? Okay. So, if somebody is coming to stay with you 2 weeks and you are fasting, and the person says, "These 2 weeks I'm fasting," you don't need to fill your gas. It's not a necessity. You can use that money to buy another thing because this thing you are preparing is not useful for the person that is coming. Just as it is in our corporate expression as the body of Christ and our individual expressions as hosts of the Christ, the knowing of the Christ will school us along the lines of the things that he needs to function. Are you with me? What does he feed on? What makes him depressed? Why? By that I mean, what kills his activity, even though he's there? What makes him go to sleep in your vessel? How do you wake him up? How do you keep him awake? What facilities do you need to put in place? What gets him excited? What gets him sad? The average believer does not know what gets God sad, so they do everything. What makes him shout? What makes him go silent? These things are scattered on the pages of scriptures, and as God leads your feet towards the right set of books, the right set of messages, men have labored to find out these things. So there is a labor. Any spirit you want to play permanent host to, you must know that spirit intricately, so that there will be no schism. There will be a free flow of life. So my question is, I know you want to play host to the Christ. Do you know him? I'm not saying, have you read about him? Have you opened up? Have you engaged to a point where encounters with him now begin to school you? How much of him do you know? We all have dreams of manifesting the Christ. But a man who has not received the Christ does not have a future of manifestation. So also the man who has not labored into accurately hosting the Christ has no future of manifestation. So do you know him? Can you help me ask your neighbor, do you know him? Okay. So, a knowing. If you go to Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul gives us that all important verse of scripture. What he did was to ventilate his quest that I may know him. And like we're told some years ago, that we have a record again and again, that Paul's quest was not to know the Christ more. It was to know him. Based on Paul's understanding, if you have not fully known, you have not known. It means you will still be deprived in the area of your ignorance. So Paul was not going to stand upon a pedestal to say, I've known small. Paul's labor was to fully capture the reality of the Christ so that he could fully express the Christ. Why do we also need to know him? Because in the kingdom also, we are not given too many grounds upon which we can glory. Jeremiah 9:24. You can't glory in the car that you drive or the shoe that you wear. You can't glory in your set of wristwatches. The Bible says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in all this I delight, saith the Lord. Do you know what the Lord delights in? I'm saying this to set us on a journey of finding. If all that you know is sponsored by congregational dealings, then you don't know him. I've said to us, nobody gets naked in public. We only show enough. If it was possible to cover my head, you will not see my head. But you will not want to listen to a pastor whose head, who is wearing a mask. How many of you will listen to him? You will think that we just started drama unit and I wanted to launch it. So I had to expose just enough so that in seeing my head, you know it's me and not Emmanuel. Identity. Am I saying something? I'm saying that in the congregation, God only shows enough. Those who know him are men of the secret place. Because the secret place is a place of secrets. It's a place of secrets. It's a place of secret conversations. It's a place of unveilings. As a matter of fact, the secret place is a place of no secrets. Are you with me? Or a certain no long man so ni be koko. The things people call mysteries become revelations in the secret place. If you have not gone that far, you don't know him. You don't understand his will. You don't know his counsel. The things that you pride in are not things that you should pride in. Because in the secret place, men gain more than knowledge. They come into understanding. They not only know what will happen, they know how it will happen. It's in the secret place that God recruits participators. In the public, it's a space for spectators. Do you know him? Could it be that it is not a case of unwillingness? That you want to play permanent host to God? And every time people come close to you, they begin to fellowship with God. Could it be that you are suffering from a deficiency of knowledge? That's why for 10, 20 years you have been the same person. That you began your journey in God, or at the beginning of your journey in God, people had expectations, but now by many years of non-performance, they are not expecting anything, and you are still willing, but you don't know enough. Please help me ask your neighbor, do you know enough? Did they answer you? And you didn't ask them. You just preached to them. Ask the person, do you know enough? What's the person saying? You did not answer. You should answer. You should answer. Because the proof of knowing is not speaking. The proof of knowing is becoming. And that's how we become in the kingdom, is by knowing. So what you have not become, you don't know. Emmanuel, can you cut cloth? You cannot cut cloth. Can you join cloth? Okay, so you don't know tailoring at all. Close your eyes. Let's work this. Imagine yourself cutting cloth. Are you cutting? Eh? You are cutting. Oh yeah, join them. wait. You have finished joining. Good. Does it look like a shirt or a suit? What does it look like? What did you sew? Native suit. Does the suit look good? Yes, it means that you know enough to conceptualize, but you can't put it on the table. So you know something about sewing. You know that the hand of the suit was different before it was joined. You know something, and you can say, well, what is in sewing clothes? Is it not to cut like this and join? You know, when people go to skilled people and say that junk, I get angry. Somebody comes to the mechanic. He brings his car from home. And the mechanic is saying, it will take time. He say, ah. Kilo wa no car, so why am I? What I would have said was, Oga, you for doing now. So there are many people who claim to know God, but God is still a mystery to them. And it's not wrong to acknowledge. Because it is by acknowledgement that we open the gates of knowing. I don't know you. I want to know you. That's what Moses said. It was after splitting the Red Sea. It was after 10 plagues in Egypt that Moses said, show me thy way. What do you want to know, Moses? The things you have done have not been redone. Are you with me? Have you heard anywhere that people struck dust and ants came out? Have you heard that a man occasioned darkness so strong that you could feel it? Have you heard it before? So Moses, what do you want to know? And God was not doing it. He was just instructing Moses. Moses was the orchestrator of the plagues in Egypt. So God told him to do something. That thing didn't happen until Moses did something. So it was a hand that wrought it. No wonder Miriam sang a song that God linked his hand with the hand of Moses to to smite Egypt. But Moses is saying, I don't know you. Help me, Lord Jesus. The knowledge of the Christ, among many things, gives the believer the communications of the shape of his residence. So that the more the Christ is known, the clearer our perspectives as to what is required to host the presence of the Christ. We have stayed on this first subject so long because in the earth, as chartered hosts of the Christ, we are designed to be the environment of the Christ. Are you with me? Where is the environment? It means that the tools that the Christ needs to function within us are at our mercy. So that if you are a tailor and you want to sew, when I was not married anyway, if you came into my house, your skill and your desire cannot attain unto fulfillment because I didn't even have needle and thread. I was not that blessed. I didn't have needle and thread. So that if your plan was to watch a Nigerian football match, I didn't have TV. We can stream on our phones, or if we are blessed with a transistor radio, we can be hearing and listening to a football match, especially if Nigeria is playing on the radio, is disturbing. Our commentators have a way of conditioning your heart rate. It's going. It passed. And it's. And you think it will be a goal. And then he comes back and says, oh. And I keep wondering, don't they listen to what they do abroad? It's not interesting. I didn't have all those things. So your desire and your visit will not be strong enough to occasion those things. If your phone was almost going out when I had not gotten married, and you ran to my house to say, Pastor, I want to charge my phone. Anu knows this one very well. You not charge phone. Because many times the only light you have in the room is the light of a candle. Not a rechargeable lamp, a candle. You see, where you are, you are better than where I got married. Some of you have one rechargeable lamp and one rechargeable torch. Abi? Some of you have big gas cylinder. You have TV, you are watching TV. You have generator. Even if it's a better pass, I could not afford one. So desire does not become fulfillment when the tools of function are not in the operating environment. The reason why the Christ cannot be visibly seen is that some people's operating environment lacks the equipment that makes Christ thrive. It lacks the purity that makes him thrive. It lacks the devotion that makes him thrive. It lacks the there's this word where people used to pray. They say they are looking for anointing. It lacks the consistency that makes Christ thrive. That if his expression in you requires 1 hour of prayer every day, you have not found your way into 1 hour prayer. Some days you are totally prayerless. It means that Christ will be inside you. But because your operating environment does not give him room, he will be a sleeper inside you. You will not be wrong to say, you know, we have many songs that show that we carry Jesus. And I don't want new enemies. So let me stay with it. But you know the songs that show that there is a life in us, that Christ is in us. But there's no proof because your operating environment is restrictive. In the days when we used to go to the cafe to do every reasonable thing we want to do online, sometimes you go there and you urgently need something done. And because you've not had any customers since morning, you now sit down and say, I want to finish filling a form. And then they now give a keg to a young man who does not understand the urgency of your visit. And the young man begins to greet everybody on the road. He's going to get fuel. And then he comes back and say, Say they have increased the price of fuel. What you gave me is not enough. You are exasperated. But because you came thinking it was going to be possible, now it is not possible. The Christ in some people need a few hours of worship every day. But they deprive him because they don't know what he looks like. They don't know what he requires. And I'm saying this because, you see, it's the same Christ that we have received, but we received him on personal grounds. It means that the requirements for thriving inside you are different. So that if you live in the same room with somebody that is prayerless, if every time we say, let's pray, have you met those people before? And I see it when I go on campuses. They say, let's pray. Begin to pray. And if you mistakenly sing a song, that's the end of some people's prayer. See, I say, can we ask the Lord to clothe us? And he's just singing. It could be any song. It could be any song. Maybe he goes kissy. Are you okay? Pray. So I used to tell them, don't play anything again. Because it means that person's shape, he can't try praying with a sound. The requirements are different. They are general, but their intensities are different. Because of the weight of the Christ in you, you may need to fast 6 times a week. And your neighbor may be okay with 1 day fast because of the weight. Because what we received were measures of the same Christ. Are you with me? So you can't compare until you go to the back end and find out that you are the same. Lord, send us help. Sorry, the reason why I'm coming back here is because I'm a little bit tired and I'm still not. Emmanuel, swap playing. Let's try. He's playing well, but I need to travel very far. I arrived in Badu from Adoekiti very tired because I had a night session and it was longer than expected. And because we couldn't fully cover our curriculum, we had to do another early morning session, 6 a.m. till about past 8. So, and you know, if you are entering Ibadan from Ife side, you will stay in the hold up for a long time. When I saw that I could not move, I had to jump down from the vehicle. It was a very comfortable vehicle. It was a nice Toyota Camry, courtesy, the point man, RCN, Ekiti. So please help me celebrate Reverend Dr. Taiwo Omolayo. He did so well. It was that same car that I was supposed to take to work. And he looked at me and said, Baba, you will not enter public transport under my watch. So he looked for a driver and then he just found a way to Edo. And me, I took the car to Ibadan. So I had to tell the driver, don't enter Ibadan. It's blocked. So I had to take a bike from before Iwo Road to New Garage. If you know Ibadan, you know that. So, my host said, we'll come to pick you. I said, if you come, all of us will be stuck here. I don't have a problem with bikes. It doesn't touch the anointing. But because I came late, I was trusting God for help. So when I said, let's begin to pray, and I lifted up my eyes, my ears, and heard a familiar sound. And I saw that Oba was sitting on the keyboard. I said, you have shown me mercy. So Oba, we don't know why you are in battle. May God bring you back safely. John chapter 14 verse 8. I'm waiting for you. John chapter 14 verse 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. I'll read from 8 to 11. And it sufficeth us. What did Jesus say? Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And now sayest thou, then show us the Father. 10 and 11. Believest thou not that I am in the Father? Jesus was saying that there was a relationship between him and the Father, and it was that the Father was playing host to him. I'm trying to bring us into the organic fellowship as regards hosting that we have with the Lord. You are in Christ, just like Jesus was in the Father. But Jesus also said, and the Father in me. So just like Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in him, the believer is also giving room. There is accommodation for you in the Christ. But what makes for optimized expressions is that the one that you live in also lives in you. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Those are the things, the expressions that mystery of coin hearing, that's what we call it, the occasion. That you can be the one speaking, but it's the one that is indwelling that is bringing forth the words. He said, but the Father dwelleth in me, that dwelleth in me, doeth the works. It means the output of a man who plays host to the Christ will be the words of the Christ, will be the works of the Christ. So when the words of the Christ begin to dwindle on your lips, and the words that give expression to the word begin to fill your lips, when the works of the Christ begin to dwindle around your life, it is not proof that you are not saved. It means that you are not playing accurate host to the Christ. You are not giving him room for expression. Are you with me? Let's go to the next verse. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. This is supposed to be the testimony of everyone who has come to that point that I am in Christ and Christ is in me. What it means is that the expressions of the Christ in and around us can now be limited. I know that what we have marketed is the unlimited Christ, and that's an existential reality, that Christ is unlimited. But the living reality is that you can limit the Christ. I remember in 2015, I was still living in Olukoko. I was just coming from my prayer walk, and the Lord said, I will give you a sermon topic that I want you to develop. I will inspire you. I've never preached it. He called it the limitations of the anointing. Now, you think that the anointing is an all-potent tool. It can be limited. And when he began to teach me, I thought he was going to say that, you see, the powers of darkness can limit it. He told me that just as it is for the anointing, it is for God in the earth realm, God's greatest limitation is man. The greatest limitation of the anointing is a man. There are many things that are inside you that you no longer acknowledge as being resident inside you, because you have lived for too long without manifestation, because the life that makes them potent is absent. I know you're asking God for revelation. I'm telling you that some people asking God for revelation are revelatory. It's actually the seed of revelation that is making them suggest that I should be revelatory, because the seed is there. The faith is beginning to speak that you were sent as an emissary of healing. The faith is beginning to speak that you are a baptizer. The graces of God are supposed to be cast upon men through you. That you are not a singer. You were crafted as a minister, a transporter in the spirit. And when you open your mouth, people are supposed to shift location. Now you go to God and say, can you give me the oil of the minister? No, it's there. But there is also the life of a minister. And I think, Pastor Diola, for too long we have marketed the oil of. We need to begin to teach people the life of. Because the life is what bears the oil. Are you with me? Don't just envy what a man carries. The easiest thing for God to do is to replicate graces upon your life. But the hard part is that your life becomes a vessel that can manage the grace. If I sell tea, Meshai, my problem is not occasioning hot water. I hope you know that. You are not even Meshai because they are not called me bread. Abi, what is shy? Eh? Is the tea. So it means the marketing edge of the Meshai is tea. So he must have hot water. In case he has no bread and egg or indomie, his name does not change. I have not heard me indomie before. So it means that if all of us go to the Meshai and we say we want hot tea, and he says we should bring our cups, some people will still catch cold. You know why? They don't have vessels. If it's me indomie you went to, you can receive hot indomie inside a nylon bag. Am I right? Can you try it with chai? If the water is boiling inside nylon bag, what happens? It melts. So sometimes the vessel is the limitation of what God wants to give. You don't, it's not a faith problem, it's a vessel problem. There are certain caveats in scriptures that show us that, you see, there's no master key in scriptures. In life in God, there's no master key. There's no master key. That's why every place I've tried to teach what John testified to, that he saw in Jesus as truth, I teach truth as a two-sided coin. That truth is reality, but truth is also principles. Because Jesus said, and his speakings are superior to your prayers, that no man putteth new wine into old wineskin. That's a principle. It means if the vessel is old, it cannot fellowship with new content. Oh, send me help, Holy Spirit. There's a way this word's born in my spirit, that God has become God the desperate. The kingdom wants to win more, but the reason why the kingdom cannot win more is that God is lacking men. We are not like the world, but we are also not like God. We look like a people who have left Egypt. And in Egypt, we had an identity as slaves. The wilderness has no capacity to impart an identity. Unknowing to us, Egypt thinks that everybody that left Egypt entered the promised land. But some people are trapped in Kadesh Barnea. It's a place of dying. That because they cannot apprehend what God is advertising, that it's possible to live life at a new level, they die there. You spoke like they spoke. You went somewhere, and when you returned, you came back with a language that nobody could understand. Even you could not understand. Instead of buying the things that you used to buy, you walked into a shop, and like it used to be that time, when you get saved, you go for a big Bible. Because you want to sign off on your street that I have found a new life. We used to sing an old song. I don't know if you know it. I found a new life. Oh yes, I found a new life. I found a new life. Oh yes, I found a new life. The next line says, if anyone asks me, what's the matter with you, my friend? Because you're observing. I just tell them, yes, I am saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, heavenly bound, Jesus is mine, I found a new life. Can you see the ratings? Saved, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, heavenly bound. Jesus is mine. I found a new life. Because the life of a believer at that time used to occasion inquiries. What happened to this person? But now nobody is asking. It's only we in church that knew that you came forward and cried. The people in your hostel don't think you are different. They are still surprised why you go to church. The reason why they no longer value tongues is that they are wondering, is this what it's about? Because after the tongues, if somebody knocks your door, you let out a curse word or you speak a vulgar word. It means the tongues you have been speaking for 10 years cannot even purify your utterances. I'm sorry. But you see, subscribing to the Lordship of Christ is a very tall order, and we have belittled it to a confession. It is designed to be a profession, something that you do every day. It's an occupation. What was Peter doing? After Jesus got him from fishing, what was his new occupation? The definition of his new occupation was follow me. So if you met Peter in the middle of the road standing, and you say, Peter, you're a jobless man. He say, I'm employed. Doing what? Following. And progressively, Peter was beginning to gain mastery of certain operations of the Spirit. Who taught him how to be bold at Pentecost? He had given room to a spirit that possessed him, and the timid man became a bold man. Change is not hard. It's because we have not given him enough room to self-operate in us. We are like systems that are ridden with viruses, that even when an original software is downloaded, before it fully installs, it jams too many times. That's why there's no proof on the landscape. Jesus is saying, I am in you, but now I want to live in you. I was sharing with them from Galatians 2:20. Paul was testifying of what he had found. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Paul took his testimony beyond dwelling. He took it to living. And that's the proof of hosting. Because when he dwells, he's just existing inside you. Paul is saying, if you come close to me, you will know that the one within is alive. My God, see Batamakaya. It's a good time to cry out. I know that you are here. But Lord, whatever it takes to give you room, you can operate in me. Paul, he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, what you can see of me, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There is a testimony that the world wants to hear. Not because we learned the verse, but because we have come into that plane of existence. I go mekate baratate tamandos. Are there things, oh God, that you need to take away? Ikeko milekedos. Sendo kelekitis kataleasa. Lebre koto minate. Efikemosa, ranto kasaite, belikominata, ankata bariase tobreata. Oh, let the restrictions be off me. Ayakemosaita mabaratai. Tonight you can burn with your flames. Live in me. Live in me. Live in me. Be active here, oh God. Ekaria ke kaletor, rekotola vakakatata sante maimi moseta. Live here.
como mosa kaba baba baba anta kalie 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 eko samo kata baba robe rakatami my come la kebra sotele akabama ai kae monte kasole akab raso bene vetate eta ranta miskata la pante ranta mitoria te lucia Jesus live here. Oh God, send us help. Send us help. Let that which limits you in me, oh, be broken. Let the walls crumble. Let the walls crumble. Let every structure, yakaba otoko mekakote mekuria tekabarata kunte katate barati le koso bante vantai konsemilate. I yield. For in yielding you become stronger. Aya batoya sia elaye. Lebrehele to somidita. No longer to hinder you, O God. You can become fluid within my vessel. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want. Kama mobe roses keve hatula. Ranteve kufri hakatoli akadaso. Help me. Angela, go ahead.
I'm open before you, Lord. Before you, Lord. Do to me what you want.
Help me.
I'm open before you, Lord. Before you, Lord.
Fetatu vantano ante da beve cosin pemponde driato somate mande cateno veta cabastanta cabiria recatan so keme bate rete te vacatando sketa ranto camote cabana savicaba mete che bossia vacabala catatata. Come. No, you will need prayers. I want you to run this thing for 5 minutes.
Yes, my heart, Lord. Bendesope. Yes, my heart, Lord. Here I am, Lord. come for me, Lord, come for me. Menesope, ikabarato balateila. Come for me, Lord Jesus. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Manasobe, ikabalato. Pass me not. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Ikabalata teila. Ramanasabi. Akababa babu. Akababa babu baya. Lebedebele debele dobalata. Beregedebele dobalatiata. Ikabamba babu. Berekina. 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 Pass me not. O gentle Savior. Akabalata te. Ekababa babu be. Regedina. Berekedebele tua. Ayakabe. Ayakaboriaka. Pass me not. Pass me not. Yes, my heart. Yes, my heart, Lord. Manosika. Ayakabalela. Berekobalate. Yes, my heart, Lord. Akobelaba. Akabababobalata. Berekedebeledebelete. Akababo. Akababo. Take room. Take room. Take space, Lord. Akababo babababababalata. I let go of every idol. Akabala. Akobeletele. Things that has taken my affection. Akabale. Ikabababa. Regedina balatoba. Iakabala dabalata. Pass me not. O gentle Savior. Akabalatale. Akobabababobalata. Akobalale. Beredia. 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 A mercy. Akabalatela. Yes, my heart. Yes, my heart. Yes, my heart. Ikabababobe. Berekabebebeboba. Alakobalale. Jesus. 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 Ah. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. Savior. 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 Be Lord over my life. Am I humble cry? Menasobi. 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 Savior.
Pass me by.
Menasoba. Call unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's taking away yokes. Jesus. Menasokabali. Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. So make my heart your home. Make my heart so lovely. Please be seated.